Jim Rohn said, make $1 million, not for the $1 million, but for what it'll make of you. Mm-hmm. And that statement is so flipping true. And today we talk about that a lot with our clients. It's about who you have to become to have $1 million or to have a business that earns a 15% or a 20% net profit.
You talk about it in your book a lot, and it really is having the right mindset that if someone else can do it, I can do it too.
Have you ever felt like there's a secret club of successful contractors and you're left outside? Want in? Well, you just found the entry door. Welcome to the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. Each episode, we pull back the curtain, revealing the stories, strategies, and secrets that top leaders use to grow their home improvement business and enjoy more success, more wealth, and more freedom. Discover more at thewealthycontractor.com. Now let's get into today's episode.
All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. I have got a return guest here, Matt Hollander. Welcome.
Thank you, Brian. Glad to be back on the podcast.
Yep, good to have you. And we're going to talk a little bit about your book. We're going to talk about what you got going on. I think that if I had like a book of wealthy contractors with their pictures there, Matt's picture would definitely be one of them. Like, you know that thing where you look up in the dictionary, the wealthy contractor, there'd be a picture of Matt there. Matt, you know, you did something very, very cool, and it's something we talk about a lot here, and that is you created a very successful, very profitable business, and you used the profits from your business to get involved in other things, real estate among and other businesses. Can we start there and talk a little bit about that and kind of like, what are you involved in?
Well, it's too much. You know, it's funny. One of the principles in my book is about, you know, having a vision and what is your one thing. And I've got several things. I think it's okay for certain individuals. If you're a specialist, by all means, be a specialist. But I think it's my internal wiring or my DNA just won't let me focus on one thing. So I did start Orange Rhino Concrete Coating. So I've got a gentleman that worked for me for over a decade running that business. We do mostly garage floor coatings. I'm involved in private equity with three other gentlemen, and it's called a DSO, Dental Service Organization, and we roll up dentist offices. We just acquired our sixth practice, and we're looking at merging with another DSO over in Nashville to grow that. I've got a hotel fund I'm about to launch and raise money to build a series of extended stay hotels in the Southeast. Macklemore, I'm one of the partners there. That's a new hotel, two golf courses, resort development on Lookout Mountain in North Georgia. And then I've got, like you had G4, I've got V2 Holdings, V2 Ventures, V2 Properties, V2 Aviation. So I'm plenty busy and trying to get some of those things off my plate, but I can't find one to get rid of. And surprisingly, I have removed a lot of things from my plate, but right now I'm focused on those handful.
So it's interesting. Like, I wonder now, as we're getting a little more diversified ourselves, how do you keep track of it all?
I've got a lot of help and good partners.
Kind of like in your business, right? You had a management team, a leadership team that helped you manage your, you know, very large home improvement company. So I'm sorry I interrupted, but.
No, you're right. It's having good partners. I know my strengths and weaknesses. I don't dot I's and cross T's, and I go fast. And so I try to surround myself or partner with, you know, individuals that have the opposite strengths and weaknesses that I have. And I've got partners in most of these businesses. I read a great book last year called Who, Not How. Yeah. And so instead of me trying to figure out how to do it on my own, I figure out who knows how to do it. And I go find them to partner with. For example, my hotel fund, I've got three partners and they all bring strengths that I don't have. And then I bring, well, mostly fundraising and help on that side to the table. So the first time I partnered with a friend of mine in a, we call it mixed use retail development, but we'll call it strip mall that I built about 12 years ago. I asked my father, I said, what do you think about me partnering with Bobby Cronin? And he said, that sounds like a good idea. The only advice I have is I've had two partners in my life and one of them is still my friend. And so I'm very careful on the front end. who I partner with, and we make sure that everybody's on the same page and we stay in the same lanes and operating agreements, you know, written in such a way that we remain friends and get a lot more done by having partners.
Yeah. So it's interesting that you brought up who, not how. That's a mantra here at the Wealthy Contractor inside of our Success Society, which is our new mastermind and coaching group, who, not how. Talk a little bit more about who, not how. You did a little bit there, but the book, you know, it's funny. I say this all the time. The whole book is in the title. The whole book is in the title and the details are inside, but how does that apply to, like, so you have the concrete coatings business. You've got somebody that's working, that's running that. I'm assuming this is a very detail-oriented person. Is that correct? Is that, that's the guy, is detail-oriented, sales-focused, good at hiring?
Yeah, he's great. Brian Brock is his name. He worked for me at Holdco for, I think, 11 years, was sales manager for a long time. He's very detail oriented, unlike myself. So tracking, you know, you got to know your numbers and the score of the game. And he's on top of the CRM. He's on top of accounting. Anytime I want to meet with him, which is usually once a month, he's got everything ready for me. Our meetings are fairly short. We don't implement the entire EOS system there, but we do have a scorecard. And the scorecard's green, yellow, and red. And if it's green, there's no reason in talking about it. But the red's what we focus on. And I do that with all my businesses.
Yeah. So what's interesting, so one of the principles in your book is vision. It's the founding principle in my book as well, as like knowing what you want. So let's talk about that, because you are the person that provides the vision. And many of the people listening to this are like you and me. We're entrepreneurial ADD, which means we're all over the place. We don't like details. We like big picture. We don't want to get caught up in the minutiae of a business. And so let's talk a little bit about that. Let's talk about, yeah, I know you've always had a big vision. So let's talk about that. And by the way, you see it there, but the book that we're going to be referring to here is called The Daily Climb. You can get it at Amazon, 10 Principles to Change Your Life. So let's talk a little bit about vision, because to me, everything starts there.
Yeah, I'm big on vision, and I think it can apply for an individual and for a business. And I challenge maybe the last 100 years of self-help gurus in my book, because I say screw goals. And for an individual, I know goals are important for a business, but as an individual, you say, okay, I'm going to lose 15 pounds, or I'm going to drink less, or I want to be a better spouse. Well, typically, and you can Google, only, I think it's 8% of people keep a New Year's resolution, and 90% of that 8%, you know, fail by the end of the year. So I tried to take a different approach on how we can be a better version of ourselves. And it's having that vision of who you want to be, what you want to look like, and how would that person act, and what habits would they have, knowing that you're going to screw up. You know, it's one step back and two steps forward. That's the daily climb to me. And so whether it's, you know, health goals or relationship goals, that's the personal side. And I can't stress that enough. If you just think about what that person looks like in 6 months or 5 years, you can become that person if you wake up every day and approach it that way. For a business, though, I think vision's crucial. It's when I joined this dental group I referred to, it was existing. There were three partners, and they asked me to come along and help them. And I set them down and said, what's your vision? And I got three different answers.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, we need to, one guy said, when we can sell it for $2 million, that's what we'll do. The other two were like, are you crazy? What are you talking about? So by the end of the meeting, we mapped out our vision and how many practices we're going to have and what our EBITDA is going to be and what multiple we think we can get. And so like at Holdco, our vision was to sell and produce $25 million annually and remain the largest home improvement company in East Tennessee. And that's what we preach to our entire company. That was more of an internal, in my opinion, that vision is for the employees and my management team. Our mission, which was more outwardly, was to make it better for our customers, our coworkers, and our community. So not to confuse the two, but I'm really big on vision for an individual. I mean, I have my personal vision statement. It's on my desktop. I look at it monthly. It's also in my book. So I'm big on vision, and that's just one of the principles in the book, but probably the most important one.
You mentioned something there really interesting. And we've been talking again here a lot about this, and I did a whole thing on it at Accelerate this year, was that in order to grow a great business, in order to grow a great life, you kind of got to look at what you're doing, but you also got to look at who you are being. And that's what you're talking about here is, and I totally agree with you. I try not to use goals at all. I talk about results, outcomes. I try not to use the word goal because you're right. The majority of people will never attain, reach a goal. And I remember, you know, those exercises that when we were younger and we would go to like seminars and stuff, they would say, well, write out your goal for 10 years from now. And we're like in our early 30s or 20s. And we're like, how the hell am I going to know 10 years from now? And then they say, well, then take that 10 year goal and break it down to 5 and then to 3 and then to 1 and then break it into quarter. And I'm like, how the hell do I do this? And I would walk away. And I think not only me, I think the majority of people would walk away with like, all right, this is so daunting. And you would never get anywhere. Now, obviously, you escaped it pretty quickly. You figured some stuff out pretty quickly. It took me a lot longer to figure it out, my friend.
No, I did that. I did it for years. I've written, there's no telling how many times I've written down my top 5 goals, and I don't know that I ever achieved them. So that's why. And I'm not knocking daily affirmations and goal setting. And for the 8% of people out there that it works for, that's great. I think the other 92 fall into the same trap. And, you know, let's say you want to lose 15 pounds. Well, then what? You're going to lose 10 more? You're just going to wither away? Like, you know, I would rather picture what's that person look like? How healthy are they? And then just put systems in. I'm big on systems, but you can have a system toward what that person looks like.
But I like what you're saying there is that what does that look like? What does it feel like? I talk about money with people all the time, and it's not about the money. You know, Jim Rohn said, make $1 million, not for the $1 million, but for what it'll make of you. Mm-hmm. And that statement is so flipping true. And today we talk about that a lot with our clients and with our, again, with our Success Society members and whoever's willing to listen, is it's about who you have to become to have $1 million or to have a business that earns a 15% or a 20% net profit or the 15 pounds less that you want to be. Who do you have to become in order for that to materialize? And along with the being, it's then you got to figure out, okay, well, now what does that person do?
This episode is brought to you by Business Success Consulting Group. Does the way your business currently operate prevent you from scaling and growing? Is the most valuable knowledge in your organization held by just a handful of key personnel? Are you spending valuable time training your teams instead of running your business? Business Success Consulting Group understands the challenges of organizing while you grow, and they specialize in putting order into the chaos of an expanding organization. Adi and her team at BSCG work closely with you and your team to capture vital business knowledge, and then they help you develop, document, optimize, and implement systems and processes across every area of your organization, from sales and operations to marketing, human resources, and business development. Adi and her team have decades of experience and will help you empower your teams to function effectively with reproducible results that will set your business up for continual success and expansion. Schedule your free consultation today by calling or texting 503-662-2911.
Right. And I think you talk about it in your book a lot, which I took a lot from it. I recommend it to everyone. I read it 3 times myself, but you talk about mindset a lot, and I do too. And it really is, you know, having the right mindset that if someone else can do it, I can do it too. And I think some people don't dream big enough, and they have, you know, they're goals are too small, or they think there's no way I can get, I'm at 6% net profit. There's no way I can get to 15. And actually they can.
Yeah.
So a lot of it's mindset.
Yeah. And how did you, I don't know if you, we can go back a little bit, but what were some of the things that you did or currently do to have that? You think big, my friend. I mean, you have a resort with flipping golf courses and a hotel, and you've got all these other things going on. I mean, you think really, but you have a jet. I mean, you think big. How do you do that?
I think it just in my DNA, I've always I think peer groups have helped me a tremendous amount. When I had my business, I was in one of the NAHB peer 20 clubs. Ours was called the Big Dogs, and it actually still exists. And even though I sold my business, now I go as their speaker every time. So I still get to hang out with the guys, but I saw them do it. If I had a problem in production, I would look at Scott McClurg, who had it all figured out. And I'm like, this is possible. And then I could go back to my team and connect them with Scott. And same thing, they would look to me and say, how'd you generate, a few hundred leads a month, and show us how you did that. So learning from others, I think the peer group, and I now have what I call a personal tribe. And I started that after reading a book called Tribe of Millionaires, which I highly recommend to everyone. It's a fictional story about having a personal tribe. So my personal tribe challenges me. We do talk about business, but it's made to be a peer group more about the individual. So we have a one sheeter, we call it, and we go through our net worth, our liabilities. There's a whole money section. There's a section about health. We get a fit 3D body scan before every meeting. We look at body fat percentage, health goals. Wow. And then we have a section about relationship. We rank 1 to 10, our relationship with our children, our spouse, God, called the Life Happiness Index. And you can download it for free at mattholder.com. There's my selfish plug. But my tribe helps me a lot. And
what is it called again?
Life Happiness Index.
And we'll put in the show notes, we'll put the link to the book and to your website, the Life Happiness Index. I want to do that.
Yeah. Fill it
out. I want to see how happy I am.
You know, our tribe, and I've had friends after reading my book or the Tribe of Millionaires start their own tribe. Everybody does them a little different. Some of them sign NDAs. I mean, because you're sharing a lot of personal information, you have to have a lot of trust. And then we set some ground rules, how you can be kicked out of the group too. We cap ours at 8. We currently have 7 members around the country. It's been super for me because in the past, the big dog meetings are 100% about work. And so this peer meeting is a little bit about work and finances, but more about being happy and relationships and health.
And really, if we take that back to business now, why is it that we all went into business for ourselves? I mean, if you ask people, aside from the fact, well, I wanted to be my own boss. Well, why'd you want to be your own boss? Well, because I saw how other people were doing it, and I thought I could do it better. Well, and if you keep asking why and you go down a few layers, ultimately, we're going to come to freedom. I wanted to make as much money as I could. I wanted to spend time how I wanted to spend time. I wanted to be with people that I wanted to be with, and on and on. And it's incredible how people lose sight of that in their business. And they don't track the important things, like making money in the business is not only about making money. It's about all the other things it opens up now for you. You can hire the right people. You can surround yourself with the right people, hire people. You can make mistakes and it not be catastrophic. You can afford to do, 3D body scans. You can afford to hire or go to a great doctor that's going to help you with your quote unquote goals or the outcomes you want to reach and who you want to be. And so I like this a lot, this idea a lot of the tribe and who you're around.
It is, there's an analogy for the word time that we talk about in my book, TIMA. Today is my everything, TIME. Yeah. And it does create money, does create freedom, and it does create time. And I've been fortunate. My wife is a health nut. We've got red light bed and red light sauna and a hyperbaric chamber, and she goes to cryotherapy.
Oh, geez. But, that's why you keep looking younger every time I see you.
I'm just out in the sun. This is actually windburned. It was really windy playing golf here yesterday.
No, but but
it does give us a lot more freedom, and that's it's nothing to be ashamed of. For years at Holdco, we had our core values that we hung on the wall, and it was your generic honesty, dependability, faith, and family. And I realized one day that's just permission to play. Like, if you're not honest or you don't have integrity or you're not dependable, you shouldn't work here. So we left those hanging on the wall, but then we created new values, and one of them was make a profit and generate cash. Yeah. And we talked about it, and you have to do that. And I get so aggravated watching people squeak by with 1, 2, 3% net profit. And so you know, the fact that other people are able to give 15 or 20 means you can too. And that's the premise of your book.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, what you're saying too about picking up the phone, you know, I said it, we had our big meeting last week, and I'm sorry, I keep bringing it up, but it's fresh and there's so much stuff happened. And I said to everybody, I mean, you're literally like, whatever problem you have, especially in a room like that, I mean, there's, you know, almost 50 companies in there. Somebody in the room has the answer. And if they don't, they know somebody that does. So you and me, we're two phone calls away from the answer we're looking for, whatever that answer might be. Some people might be three phone calls away. You and me are two phone calls, in a lot of cases, one phone call away. And so why try and reinvent the wheel? Why try and, you know, people make business so much harder than it needs to be because they're trying to figure everything out on their own.
And you're right. It's a phone call. And I love helping people. I've been called a connector. And if I have my own personal values, it's integrity, fun, and connecting people. And it's always a phone call or a text. I can get you an answer or put you with the right person. And then in turn, I ask who can help me sometimes too. And so it's the whole, you know, I'm a Christian and I'm, you know, I keep referring to Luke 21, to whom much is given, much is required. And I feel like if you approach the day with that mindset of what goes around comes around, it just good things come your way if you got the right mindset.
Yeah. Are there any specific things that you do? I know you talk about some of it in the book, but what are some of the specific things that you've done to work on your mindset, to get your mindset to that place of being the investor that you are now, the business investor that you are now?
You know, as simple as it sounds, it's finding time alone to actually think. I try to walk 5 miles every morning, and that's the best part of my day. It's when I make important decisions. It's when you have clarity. We're fortunate we live on a hill overlooking the Tennessee River on a dead end street, and there's an island in front of my house with a bench, and I just go sit on that bench and try not to look at this thing. Yeah. So, you know, that helps my mindset a lot. And then, you know, setting your priorities. There's a whole chapter or principle in my book about priorities. And, you know, for years, I was just a skilled liar, because if you asked me what they were, I would say, you know, my top five were God, my wife, my child, my friends, and my job. And in reality, I was living it in the complete reverse order. And so it's being honest with yourself, too, and then finding time to get alone and having the right mindset. And, I do have ADHD. I mean, I'm all over the place. I took the test. I've been to the behavioral health guy, and I try to deal with it with my own medicine and not Adderall, but you got to slow down sometimes. And I think it creates a lot of clarity when you do. And then refer to whatever tribe you have. You know, it's been said a million times, but Jim Rohn also said you're the average of the five people you're around. So create your own tribe. And sometimes you got to kick some people out. If they're not serving you, you know, get rid of them. If I know I'm going to act a certain way around somebody and I don't want to do that, I just choose not to be around them. You can say no. No is a very powerful word, and it comes across as a negative word. But to me, every time I say no to something, that means I can say yes to something else.
Yeah.
And we waste so much time. And sometimes you're wasting time on stuff that you think is helping and it's not. And it's just take a step back and evaluate. You know, I woke up one day and wrote a resignation letter to four boards. And I'm like, one was the Children's Hospital, one was the Chamber of Commerce. And I'm like, I'm not helping these people. I'm going to get in a free lunch and wasting my time. So, you know, now I'm only on two boards, and one of them's First Horizon Bank because they pay me. And another one's a foundation my wife and I really believe in and I want to help. But you got to set your priorities right too. When you know, mindset, priorities, make the money to create the freedom and have the time to do what you want to do that'll make you happy.
Wow. Well, there's a good formula. We could stop there and just have some just rewind that a few times and listen to that. And there you go. But there's more to talk about. I love the alone, you know, go and think. What do you say to the owner that is, they're in the middle of it. They got leads might be down. So now it's whack-a-mole, you know, business is whack-a-mole. It's like, oh crap, I thought I had this figured out. Then boom, all of a sudden now this problem popped up. I just had a chance to possibly breathe. And now I have this other crisis to figure out. So what is your advice to that person? Because I'm with you. Thinking is like, that's what your job is as an owner.
I would tell them that they're most likely focused on too many things. You know, you go to take Accelerate, for example, or one of my peer meetings, and, you know, I would always, on the flight home, I've filled up one of these. I've got 20 of these full, and I don't go back. And you go back, you put that in your desk drawer, and you've got all these notes. And so I implemented what we call the two-thing rule. And when I was president of our peer group, at the end of the meeting, we had to take all those notes and just pick out two things. Go back and only do those two things. And sometimes it may be only one thing. But most of the time, I think these business owners are just trying to do it all. And pardon my French, but if you're half-assing a bunch of stuff.
When
you probably need to focus on one or two. And whether that's being more profitable or how you generate leads, or maybe it's a, you know, slip in production or whatever that may be, figure out what you need to focus on and just go all in till you fix it.
You know, it's funny, out of EOS, one of the great things that came out of it for me was what you're describing. I was the same guy. I would come back with pages and pages and pages of notes. My to-do list was 5 pages long, and you'd never, how can you possibly get through even a full page of a to-do list? And what EOS forced us to do was every quarter, we're looking at 3 to 5 things. That's it. 3 to 5 things. What are the 3 to 5 things that we're going to accomplish? And at the beginning, oh my God, that was so hard for me. Because it's like, but wait a minute, what about the other 20 things? And incredibly, you get so much more done. And, you know, you've been to Accelerate, and at the end, I always tell people exactly what you just said. Narrow it down to 3 to 5 things. These are the 3 to 5 things. And then take one. What's the most important one? Go to work on that. You know, and that's what, that's again, you know, in our small group workshops, that's what we do as well, is find that one thing. If you get this one thing done, what will that do for your life? And I think part of it too, and at least this is what I have found, is that when you attach a really strong why to it, a really strong why is this important? And why is this important now? It kind of will help to put that on steroids, and it'll help to, you know, make it happen faster, I guess, or it'll, I don't know, you and me, we can't motivate anybody to do anything. Motivation is an internal thing. It's not, you know, I can't give it to somebody. You can't give it to anybody. But I think that if you can find the reason why it's so important, that helps to that burning inside to, you know, to find the motivation, to find the will to do the things that you have to do.
Well, and I think, too, it's okay to ask for help. Sometimes you can't figure that out on your own. So collaborate with your team, get all your managers together and say, what are our top 5 things? You know, I, as an individual, I came home last week to my wife and daughter, and we're at dinner, and I'm like, I got too much on my plate. And so as an exercise and as a family, we listed everything. And I had 17 things.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, some of these got to go. So y'all help me figure out what it is. I got 3 buildings for sale right now. So it's okay to ask for help, because I recognize if I try to do everything on my own, I couldn't be as successful. I love to surround myself with others. And if you got the right team and the right tribe or the right peer group and family, of course, helps a lot too. It can change everything.
Yeah. Let's go to your book for a minute. And I'm watching the clock here. We're going to wrap up in a few minutes. But we talked about vision. We talk about priorities. Of the 10 principles, aside from maybe vision, what's your favorite one?
It may sound morbid, but I end the book the way
I know how you end the book. I know how you end the book.
It's the same way we're going to end our life, and it's with a funeral. And so I wrote my own eulogy, and I wrote my eulogy as if I were going to live into my 90s. So there's things in my eulogy I've not done yet. But if you start with the end in mind, I now know that my wife and I are here's where we're going to travel, and here's where we're going to have a second home, and here's how much money I'm going to give to my daughter when I die. And so, you know, one of the best funerals, and I hate to act like a funeral is a good thing, but a friend of my dad's passed away when I was a teenager, and I remember the pastor got on stage and he said, "It's not my place to remember Paul's life, it's yours." And there were 2 microphones on the stage, and people just lined up and started telling stories about the departed. And, you know, at my funeral, you'll hear the eulogy I wrote, and then there'll be two microphones, and they can celebrate Matt and get a copy of my book on their way out. So I guess, you know, if you made me pick one, it would be that one, because it goes back to vision. You're starting with the end in mind. Some of the other principles, there's a whole chapter about failures, and I go, a lot of them are stories about my life and failures that I've had. I made a very unwise decision as soon as I sold my company to run for mayor, which it's in the chapter Plan to Fail. So that's
a good story. Yeah, it's a good story. Yeah.
And sometimes bad things just happen. We got hit by, in 2011, we got hit by a tornado. It killed family members, one of my employees. My brother-in-law's died in a car wreck. I've had bad stuff happen, and everybody out there has. And I guess the point is sometimes bad shit happens,
yeah,
and you got to deal with it. And a lot of times there's not something good that comes out of that. But most of the time when there's a failure, you can learn from it, as we all know. You know, there's a principle, call your shots. That's the principle about vision. There's one about getting fit and staying fit and health, find a guide. And then there's the chapter about finding a tribe. The difference for me and the guide and the tribe, for example, I go to Alaska each year, fly fishing for trout, and I've got the best guide, and he knows, you know, what the fish are looking for, what river we should go to, what they like to eat, what time of the day it is, whether it's, you know, I'm a member of a golf course that uses caddies, and I always ask for Bandy. I don't even know his first name. It's his last name. But he knows my golf swing. He just hands me the club he knows I should hit. And same thing in business. I have a life coach I talk to every month. In business, there's, you know, business coaches. So I encourage everybody to have a guide, one for your business. And I think you should have one as an individual as well. One principle is called, you don't stop for dry cleaning on your way to defuse a bomb. And that's the principle about priorities. And then I start the book with a principle called wear extra big shoes. And it goes back to what we already talked about in my version of screw goals. But I had a cancer scare prior to writing the book. My primary doctor asked me to go see a oncologist because I had low white blood count and low neutrophils. And I had to get a bone marrow biopsy. And they said it would take 5 days to get the results. And so I walked around for a week thinking I had leukemia, and I won't draw out the ending. Felty syndrome is what I got diagnosed with, and I can live with that. But the real diagnosis I got was that I wasn't living life on purpose. And so it really woke me up. And one reason I wrote the book is I wanted to do that for other people. I see people just, you know, they're day in and day out, same thing, and I want to go shake them. And so that was part of my motivation for writing the book. And I do get a lot of feedback, and anybody out there that's read it, I'll take a 5-star Amazon review. But I think my problem, and thanks for having me on to somewhat promote my book, I'm giving all the proceeds to teenage suicide awareness and prevention. I'm not taking a dollar from any of the sales, but I do think the book can help people. And if I were Tony Robbins or Ed Mylett or John Maxwell, just wrote his 88th book, you know, they have a big brand and they release a book and they sell a lot of books. And outside of Chattanooga, I don't really have a big personal brand, but I wrote what I think is a great book. So it's been difficult to get it out there, but I think 1,600 copies are out there now. So I'm just going to.
Nice.
And I'll always have a new audience, and the book will be around when I'm dead. So I'll just keep pushing it.
Have you heard about How We Die Twice?
No.
Have you heard about this? So I just heard about this recently. So we die when we die, and then we die again when the last person around remembers who we are. When that person dies, then we're really gone.
Yeah.
And so hopefully with this book and with the podcast, hopefully that doesn't happen for you, my friend. And hopefully you'll only have, you know, and God forbid it's not for a really, 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 really long time. By the way, 90s, I think, is shooting a little low. I really think that if you and I, if we can make it another, you know, 15, 20 years, you know, healthy. I think the new technologies and stuff that are going to come out will push us way over 100 with good quality of life. So that's what I'm holding out for.
I agree. And there's a lot of things we already, we're taking peptides now. I take a prostate bioregulator. My wife's got me 15 vitamins. And I do agree with you. Maybe less whiskey would help, but I agree.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one, especially coming from where you come from. Yeah. All right. Well, Matt, it's always good catching up with you. And I hope that, to the listener, wow, there's a lot of really good stuff here. And Matt, I got to tell you something. As long as I've been doing this, and I'm so always so humbled and so grateful to have these conversations, because I get as much out of it, I think, as maybe even more so than anybody else. And so they're very valuable for me. But what's really helpful for me is when I hear from you about some of the things, the way that you think, and like the whole alone thing, and the getting your to-do list from a giant book down to just a few items. And I think, wow, I'm on the right track here. I think I'm doing some of the right things, because, if a guy like you is doing those things, then that must mean I'm on the right track. And I would say to the people listening, I've said it before, and I'll say it over and over again, because it happens to me every day. Success leaves clues. Success leaves clues. And in this podcast, you got a whole bunch of them, but they weren't clues. They were spelled out. So I would recommend going. I have my copy here. I would recommend going and getting The Daily Climb. Matt Hollander will put a link to Amazon in the show notes. Thanks, my friend. I appreciate you you being here.
My pleasure. And if you want to listen to the book, it's on Audible and Apple. You just have to listen to my
He keeps country, selling all the way to the end. And now look at this too. Okay. I'm sorry I interrupted you, but this guy's always selling. That's a clue also. That is a clue also. So tell us again, if you want to listen to it, it's available on Audible.
Apple, Audible, or AwSound, or paperback or hardback on Amazon, or you can go to matthollander.com and it gives you all those options. And I do have a signed hardback copy for you, but I'm going to deliver it in person, because I'm bringing Jenny to Miami for our anniversary next month. So,
oh, no way. Okay. Let me know when you're going to be here. Let me know ahead of time.
I'll shoot you the date. Something.
Yes.
We'll be at, I think it's Aqualina. Is that a hotel over close to where you had Accelerate a couple years ago at,
up in Aventura, Sunny Isles.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's where we'll be. Thanks as always, Brian. If I can help anybody out there, I'd be happy to. Please reach out. I'm also for hire as a board member if you need one of those.
All right. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Brian.
Everybody listening.
Keep climbing.
Keep climbing. Until next time, this is Brian Kaskavalsian, and this is the Wealthy Contractor Podcast.
Hope you enjoyed this week's episode. For insights on skyrocketing your home improvement business and accelerating your journey to the success, wealth, and freedom you've always dreamed about, be sure to get your free copy of my best-selling book, The 7 Secrets to Becoming a Wealthy Contractor, at www.thewealthycontractor.com. And don't forget to follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. See you next time.